Welcome to my Bob Thurman podcast. I'm so grateful some good friends enabled me to present them to you. If you enjoy them and find them useful, please think of becoming a member of Tibet House US to help preserve Tibetan culture. Tibet House is the Dalai Lama's cultural center in America. All best wishes. Have a great day.
This is episode 63, titled Eight Stages of Dissolution into Death.
Okay, let's meditate together now. Now, if you can look at one of those Book of the Dead things or find it online or whatever. In my introduction to my translation, there's this set of eight dissolution states, which is what we're going to meditate on. Okay, in answer to Jessica's question. Okay, so now go back into refuge fields, whatever you open it, never mind, we'll do that quickly. And they're all happy, all the enlightened beings and all our friends and everything, they're all there. Because, of course, everything in your mind, every change in your mind, every up-leveling in your mind, every insight in your mind that you achieve immediately resonates to all the beings around you. That's the bodhisattva attitude, you know. You become aware that you yourself are a kind of morphic resonator. And therefore, when you do some self-overcoming, some self-transcendence, some self-improvement, some self-transformation, this immediately ripples out, you know, like a pebble dropped in a pond. It ripples out through the minds and hearts of those you love around, even the ones you don't like. It goes around, it just emanates, you know. So therefore, bad moods also send out bad vibes. So that's also, you become more aware of your impact on other people, even in your mind, even though you didn't do anything, even you're meditating and they're not there. That's really useful, actually. It gives you more energy. So, now in this meditation, there are said to be eight stages of dissolution into death. And actually, when we lose consciousness in a faint or falling asleep, naturally, we go through the same eight stages, but we don't normally notice them. And the first one is called earth dissolving into water. And it's the name of the stage. And that's when, you know, you lose visual consciousness. And it, when you lose it, your visual cortex wants to keep seeing things that it recognizes. So then you have kind of hallucinations. What hallucination is the attempt to find, to recognize something when you're losing the ability to slap your concept on a perception. And so you slap all kinds of different concepts and see different things in the same set of light particles or light waves. And so you have the sign of inner sign, not with your eyes, but in your inner eye, your mental eye, in which you visualize normally, you can, when you're normal, stay alive. But in that state, you just have a blurry visions, okay? Earth going into water. And a sense of solidity about your body. It's like your body, it's like when you sit in an uncomfortable posture and your foot goes to sleep or something, or your leg goes to sleep. If you stay cross-legged too long and too tight a posture, then the nerves are pinched a little bit temporarily and your leg falls asleep. You begin to have that kind of a nerve buzz when earth goes into water. And the second stage, so it's like you kind of melt a little bit. Instead of being hard-edged, your sense of your own body, it begins to feel like it's melting, like water. It's flowing. Then the next is called water melts into fire, dissolves into fire. And then you have a kind of little bit of feeling of heat, like a flush of embarrassment, like a, you know, when you have flush, an internal feeling of heat. And the inner vision of the mind's eye is smoky. Like if you're filled with clouds around you, there are smoke is happening. And then the third stage is called when fire melts into wind. And then when that happens, you see like the smokiness gives way to a kind of sparky vision, or the moiré pattern of light raindrops falling on the surface of a still pond. You're like a kind of moiré pattern like that. Is another possibility at that point. Or sometimes they say a swarm of fireflies, the cooler light than sparks, you know. It might start as hot sparks and then go to that greenish, cool light of flashing fireflies. I don't know if you've ever seen a cloud of fireflies swarming. It's an amazing sight, actually. I have seen that in moonlight, actually, at night. It's amazing. So those greenish flickering lights in a swarm, you know. I like that. And then the fourth one is said to be when wind, and not air. Some people will write air, that's wrong. Because air, we have an idea of it as a medium that can be still. But the essence of wind is movement. You know, things moving, swirling. So it really should be translated wind. And vayu in Sanskrit, or prana, lung in Tibetan. Then wind dissolves into space in some versions, or wind dissolves into consciousness in some versions. And the inner sign for that is the still glow of a candle flame, which is not flickering at all. And it might be just as it's about to cut her out, it has a moment of stillness. Where it, and it's not like you're seeing a candle flame somewhere, separate from yourself. Your inner sign or your inner vision is filled with this still candle flame. Those are the first four stages of dissolution. And even every time you meditate, if you do the way I said in the entering the refuge visualization, you first look into yourself and let yourself kind of melt, because you don't find sort of a little sign saying me stuck somewhere, you know what I mean? And then you wonder where you are, kind of you get a kind of uncertainty thing, and you let that be an opening feeling. So you fit these stages into that in meditating. You can. And then the fifth one gets to a much more subtle plane. And the fifth one is where it's called your space consciousness dissolves into luminance. What I call luminance. Some poor translators call it appearance, which is ridiculous, because actually you disappear into a space filled with moonlight, a white light that is not too bright like moonlight, but it is a bright moonlight, whitish light. And it isn't that you're floating there or you're there with your body somehow levitating. You just become that consciousness space. Your consciousness just becomes flooded with this white light. There's no moon. It's like a cloudless sky filled with white moonlight. That's, I call that luminance. Or luminosity is not bad. Luminance. And that's the fifth dissolution. And then the sixth dissolution state is where luminance dissolves into radiance. And that radiance state is where the white space, whitish light lit space, becomes more orange reddish, like and brilliant sunlight. It's actually almost harsh bright. It's a flash of bright light. But no sun, but it's like a sky, pure clear sky, with cloudless sky flooded with sunlight. And that almost becomes harsh. It's an inner sign, though. It's not like hurting your eye, but it's just too bright in your inner mind. And so your mind kind of seeks relief from that, and it goes into dark light, which I call immanence. So luminance, radiance, and immanence. And the darkness is a darkness which is, part of it is unconscious, almost unconscious. If you're not trained, this might be the time when you do lose consciousness when you, say, fall asleep. And when you completely lose consciousness when you die, if you're not trained to recognize this dark state, where it's almost a bright blackness, a glistening blackness, something like that. The very opposite of the sunshine state. And then mostly people think that that's the deepest state. And actually we associate it with deep sleep, with being unconscious. And those who have an imagination of themselves as becoming nothing after death, that's the state they're expecting, they're imagining actually, when they think, I won't be around. They're imagining just the darkness like that. When they think of it as nothingness, actually. But it's not the final state, that's the seventh dissolution. And then the eighth dissolution is the most subtle, and it's when the dark-lit state, the immanence state, gives way to transparency, or what has been translated in general in this kind of literature as clear light. It's, which is correct translation too, but the emphasis should be on the clear. Because it's not a moonlit bright white light, and it's not a bright reddish-orange sunlight. It's a transparency. And why it's different from those others is that it's a light that everything has within it. So there's no obstruction, and there's no shadow. So it's not a light that is opposite of dark. It's a merging of dark and light in transparency. And actually, when your consciousness hits that, according to the mechanism description of the Indian and Tibetan scientists who explored consciously the death process, death and rebirth process, as well as the sleep and dream process, when it hits that, the consciousness, it's the exact moment where the subtlest energy, the soul energy, you could say, the spiritual gene, sometimes they call it, splits from the coarse body. So it is the moment of death. It's like the doorway of death. But it's like transparency. So it's sort of missed by anyone but someone who can sort of merge infinity, you know, into voidness, you know, who can recognize it. Not easy to do. Actually, it's a yoga that I teach at Menla, at our retreat center, the Tibet House Retreat Center in the Catskills, like our little mini Kirpalu, which is the sleep yoga, but I'll share it with you all, just one of our minor in Massachusetts. And which is that when you sleep at night, if you know these eight stages, which is very valuable, everyone to learn them, to write them down or look up on page, whatever it is in the Tibetan Book of the Dead translation that Jessica has, and learn them, and then sort of try to run through them as you fall asleep at night. And actually, there's a way you can run through them in the daytime even. Every day, you know, Dalai Lama says he does it six times a day. He sort of, in other words, rehearses the process of dissolving out of his body six times a day. And then comes back in by doing them in reverse, you know, coming out of clear light into dark light into sunlight, sunlight into moonlight into space consciousness into wind, wind into fire, fire into water, water into earth. And then there you are waking up. So you sort of learn it like an arpeggio, you know, like a scale, eight notes, you know. And that is a great preparation. And it's something you could, because you do fall asleep every day. You have to. And you sort of learn to connect that with that process. And that way you rehearse. And you get used to the idea of letting go of everything. Of going with the flow, so to speak. And being aware of the stages of the letting go. And not being afraid of the dark. As if it's going to annihilate you or something. Because the clear light's place is, that's the force, actually. The clear light of the void is exactly what the Jedi are talking about. That is the force. And what's strange about the force is, it's like the quantum people are reaching into this area through their materialism, fascinatingly, nowadays, in the last century, last 90 years, since 1926, in the sense that they have this odd mathematical thing that a vacuum, perfect vacuum, has infinite energy. And this sort of startles them mathematically. What is that energy? You know, is it gravity? Is it dark energy? They don't know what it is. But somehow it works out that a perfect vacuum has infinite energy. But once energy is infinite, of course, it doesn't do anything by itself. There's no motive for it to do anything because it's infinite. So if there was a plenum of infinite energy, it wouldn't be doing anything on its own because everything's already done from its perspective, let's say, I'm not making it into a personal, I'm just saying, it's a plane of such energy. However, anyone who is attuned to its presence can have an endless well of energy to draw from. So the sleep yoga, if you just get those concepts, the sleep yoga that I teach is what we call, I call it the Menla sleep yoga. Menla means medicine Buddha in Tibetan, healing Buddha. Is that instead of thinking when you're asleep, going to sleep, I wish I could have done it last night, I don't care what I was thinking, more. But anyway, going to sleep, and then instead of thinking, now I'm going down into a dark space of total inactivity. I won't say nothingness necessarily, but nothing is fine when you want to go to sleep. You know, like when you're having pain and having a tooth pulled, nothingness is just fine. Subjective nothingness. And so there you go. And instead of thinking that, you think, well, I will lose consciousness when it gets dark, you know, and I let go of my sense stimuli, responding or noting my sense data. But actually, I slip beneath the darkness of the seventh dissolution state into immanence. Immanence meaning with an I, spelled with an I, immanence, which means something is about to happen. Immanence means that something is imminent, meaning it's going to happen. So that immanence is going to give way, without me realizing it, to the force, to the clear light of the void, to the transparency. So why am I going to feel so energized in the morning after a good sleep? Because my mind got out of the way and it merged with the force. And since I'm not used to non-dual consciousness, I just think I'm unconscious. But actually, my mind is there with the force. And my cells are bathed in infinite energy. And they're being renewed by that infinite energy. They're not in some nothingness. Why would you feel energized in the morning if you were lying around in nothing? Nothing has nothing to give you. But we feel good in the morning. So we got restored from somewhere. We tanked up. In-flight fueling, refueling, you know? But where is that? It's because there's a bed of the force. That's the deepest bed, is the force. The force of the clear light of the void, you know? And it doesn't do anything to us by itself. It's not there overwhelming us or doing anything. It's nothing to be afraid of. But when some cell in our body needs restoration, needs refreshment, it's lying in an infinite, you know, charging gizmo, which is the force.
Which is why okay? You don't get sleep.
So if you do this, Jessica, okay, did everyone get this now? So let's go over it again. Let's think of it now. Okay? Let's come back up. Clear light of the void, the force, into darkness, unconscious immanence. Then up from that into sunlit, high energy space, high obvious heat and light, brilliant red light, reddish orange light. Then into cool moonlight, luminance. And then at that point, at the cool moonlight boundary between that and consciousness space, the last place of coarse consciousness, consciousness of space, which is coarse, those lower four are super subtle. Subtle and super subtle, actually. Three of them are called subtle, and the other one is called super subtle. But at that boundary, then, there's a will that I have. I want to wake up. I want to go and do nice things for other beings. I want to be happy. I want to create happiness in the world with my new energy. And so one thinks about gaining a body. So then the body requires movement, heat, cohesion, and solidity, which means wind, fire, water, and earth. So then I come up into the space like candle flame, and then I come up into the firefly swarm or the moiré pattern, and then I come up into the smoky kind of cloudy place, and then I come up into the hallucinatory flashing light place, and then I'm back in my regular body. Okay? But then I go back down, earth into water, sinus hallucination, mirage, water into fire, sign is smoke, smokiness. Fire into wind, sign is swarm of fireflies or moire pattern, moving moire pattern or sparks. Wind into space, coarse consciousness, pure candle flame. Consciousness into luminance, moonlit sky. Luminance into radiance, sunlit sky. Radiance into immanence, darklit sky. And immanence into the force, clear light. And so the moment of death is actually a doorway, rather than some terrible loss, the moment of death is a doorway into infinite opportunity. And if one is consciously can realizes that, if one learns, trains oneself to find this clear light, and there's a sense that not just sitting sort of staring at the wall, but learning the pathways, the map, so to speak, the consciousness map that the Indian and Tibetan scientists, mind scientists, have given us, and all kinds of elaboration that they have. And then, this is your rehearsal. Okay?